Book of Proverbs, chapter 18, page 652, if you happen to have a church Bible in front of you. The main verse will be at the very end of the chapter, verse 24, which speaks about friendship. But let's read the whole chapter. Proverbs 18 and verse 1. An unfriendly man pursues selfish ends. He defies all sound judgment. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. When wickedness comes, so does contempt, and with shame comes disgrace. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters, but the fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. It is not good to be partial to the wicked or to deprive the innocent of justice. A fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine it an unscalable wall. Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honour. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. A man's spirit sustains him in sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? The heart of discerning acquires knowledge. The ears of the wise seek it out. A gift opens the way for the giver and ushers him into the presence of the great. The first to present his case seems right, till another comes forward and questions him. Casting the lot settles disputes and keeps strong opponents apart. An offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city, and disputes are like the barred gates of a citadel. From the fruit of his mouth the man's stomach is filled, with the harvest from his lips he is satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favour from the Lord. A poor man pleads for mercy, but a rich man answers harshly. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So reads God's own word, God's word full of wisdom. This is the second in a series of three messages. I think there might be a fourth, but probably three. This is the second in a series of three messages on the theme of friendship. If you're here last Lord's Day evening, we were thinking about the greatest friend of all, the Lord Jesus, who was ready not only to call his disciples servants, but more than that, to call his disciples his friends. The Lord Jesus, who could truthfully declare, greater love has no man than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. So there's no doubt about it. Jesus is the greatest friend of all, the greatest friend of unworthy and undeserving sinners. But particularly in the book of Proverbs, some other places as well, but particularly in the book of Proverbs, the value of human friendship, the value of friendship between people is emphasized. I'm sure something that I hope all of us here can testify to tonight, the value of having good friends. You can testify to that, I hope, from your own experience. The book of Proverbs here, even in the beginning of this chapter, mentions an unfriendly man who pursues selfish ends, who defies all sound judgment. An unfriendly man, a selfish man, he's not going to be a good friend. He's only really interested in himself, in number one, in looking after number one. And a selfish man will not be a true friend. A selfish man or a selfish woman will not go out of their way to be there for their friends. But there is such a thing as faithful friends. And we should not underestimate the value of having such faithful friends. Or indeed, the importance of you being a faithful friend to others. Let's look at three themes to do with faithful friends. Or faithful friends. They all end with the letter Y just to help you to remember them. And the first thing that the Word of God points out to us is the rarity of a faithful friend. The scarcity of a faithful friend. Here is Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6. Many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man, who can find? Where can you find a faithful man? There are plenty who claim to have unfailing love. Now, there's a debate here, of course, among commentators about what this is speaking about. Some would suggest that it speaks about us claiming to have unfailing love for the Lord, and we should certainly claim to have that and be real about that. However, in the context of the book of Proverbs, it would seem more likely, it would appear much more likely, that this is speaking about having unfailing love for your friends, being a true and faithful friend. Not just to claim it, but to practice it in reality. And we're told here this is a scarce thing, that's not easy to find. A faithful man or a faithful woman to truly love you. I read some time ago, and I looked it up again, just couldn't remember all the details, but I read some time ago of a tragic case, I think it was in America, of a woman, she was fairly well on in years, but a woman who had a large number of cats in her house and on her premises. You'd hardly guess how many cats she had in her premises. Maybe you would guess 20. You would be underestimating. Maybe you might guess 100. You would still be underestimating. In fact, this woman had over 1,000 cats in her house, in her garden sheds, and on her premises. Over 1,000 cats. Hard, again, one cat's hard enough to manage. You know, 1,000 cats. And she was asked why. She was asked why she had 1,000 cats. And she said, well, she had given up on human beings. They were too unreliable. They had caused her too much hurt. And she felt that the cats were much better and more faithful company. That's sad, isn't it? That's sad. Now, not undervaluing the value of a pet cat or a pet dog, but it's sad when someone ends up like this. And again, I have read
that, and particularly in Japan nowadays, with the development of modern technology, and the fact that there are many single men in Japan, and they seem to have no prospect of marrying, that sadly, many of them, because of the technology in Japan, have actually acquired their own robots to have with them in their homes, to whom they can speak and interact. That's very sad as well, isn't it? If you have no one to speak to, or to have speak to you, but a robot. A faithful man, a faithful friend, who can find? Apparently there is a popular saying among the Jewish people which says this: whoever finds a faithful friend finds a treasure. Whoever finds a faithful friend finds a treasure. A treasure is not something every day, is it? A treasure is not something common. You don't often come across treasure. By very definition, a treasure is something fairly rare, and it's very valuable because of that. Whoever finds a faithful friend finds a treasure. Faithful friendship in this fallen world where people are untrustworthy and people are selfish and people let you down. Faithful friendship is a rarity and a precious thing. A precious thing. A treasure. And therefore we find stated as well here in chapter 18 of Proverbs and verse 24, this statement we find. You see it here. A man of many companions may come to ruin. It's possible to have many companions, many associates, many people round about you with whom you interact and have some level of interaction. But they're just companions. And when the moment of disaster or crisis strikes you, they're not there anymore. They're not there anymore. Many a drinker of alcohol would say, out of the bitterness of their experience, that those who were their drinking friends, and who seemed to be great pals with them, that once the drink was done and the party was over, those friends were nowhere to be seen. Mere drinking companions, not true friends. In contrast to the one who is described here in verse 24, a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You may have many companions. How many friends, true friends, do you have? And this is especially relevant, I think, in this day and age, this thought of companionship but not true friendship, because we need to beware in this modern age, and young people especially, no, not just young people, of the superficiality of much modern friendship. The term friend has almost been redefined and emptied of its meaning by social media. You know the way it is on Facebook or Instagram, or you know if you work with computers at all, you'll know the way it is with Facebook or with Instagram, and I'm sure other things that I know nothing about, but how you can have friends at the click of a button. You post something up, some requests to be a friend. You accept them as friends. Maybe, young people here today, you have hundreds, maybe even thousands of friends on your Facebook page or your social media outlet. But how many of them, when push comes to shove, how many of them are real friends? How many of them really know you? How many of them really care for you? How many of them would go to the bother of drawing alongside of you in a moment of trial and crisis? Now, I'm not saying that we can't build up some friendships through social media. We have to be very, very careful with it. And there's so much of what is called modern friendship that is superficial and not real. You could have thousands of Facebook friends, but many of them may not be faithful to you at all. The rarity of a faithful friend. Wouldn't it be sad? Wouldn't it be sad if someone spent a lot of time cultivating supposed friends over a computer screen or a phone screen or a tablet screen, but spent very little time talking face to face, in conversation, endeavouring to make real, deep and meaningful friends? Making real friends takes time and effort and commitment. And so much of modern friendship is sadly superficial. The rarity of a faithful friend. If you have faithful friends, treasure them. Treasure them as a gift from God. The second main point I want to draw out in relation to faithful friendship is this. What is the essence of faithful friendship? What is the essence of faithful friendship? Well, the very word faithful, I think, doesn't it suggest what the essence is? Constancy, loyalty is at the heart of true friendship. Maybe summed up by a popular song, children's song, I think, mainly. Very powerful song. I'm sure you've heard it, most probably. Anyway, two little boys with two little toys. I'm not going to try and sing it to you. You probably know it, don't you? That one little boy had a wooden horse. The other little boy had a wooden horse. One little boy's horse broke. Another little boy said to him, something like, "Do you think I'd leave you crying when there's room on my horse for two?" Well, the years passed between those two boys who were friends, and they both were called to serve on the battlefield, and they were riding real horses. And the horse of the friend who'd given his wooden horse to the other one was shot down. And there he was lying in the battlefield, vulnerable to death. And his friend comes along on his horse and puts him up on it and says something like this: "Do you think I would leave you dying when there's room on my horse for two?" Loyalty over all those years, from boyhood to the battlefield. We live in a world of disloyalty and unfaithfulness and fickleness, or we can be so fickle. One moment somebody could be protesting or proclaiming that they'll be friends for you for life. And then some small thing happens and they totally turn against you. And we're each capable of doing this ourselves. The Word of God tells us here in this verse that we're focusing our attention on tonight, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A brother should be close. Not all brothers are close, sadly, in this broken world where there are broken families. There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, very often as we expound it, it's applied, and in many ways rightly applied, to Jesus Christ, who is the friend who will always stick closer to his people than a brother. That is wonderfully true. He is the ultimate faithful friend. Whoever in the context of Proverbs, in the immediate context, seems to speak more of a true human friend who will stick by you, stick even closer than a brother. Another verse in Proverbs says something similar about constancy. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 17 and verse 17. Note, when does a friend love? At all times. And in adversity, if we take the Hebrew parallelism. friend loves at all times, a friend or a brother is born for adversity. A true friend is a constant friend in the bad times as well as in the good times. In the hard times as well as in the easy times. In the sad times as well as in the happy times. There's many a person who's happy to be with you when everything is hunky-dory and the party is going well. A faithful friend will be constant in times of trouble and trial and adversity. Can we think of some examples in the Bible of such constancy in friendship? There are several. Let me mention a few to you briefly. Four, in fact. The first one is Ruth and Naomi. Ruth and Naomi. And Naomi, things were not going well for her. Things not going well for Ruth either. Naomi decides she will go back from the land of Moab to her own land. And Ruth the Moabitess, here's what she says to her. Actually, Naomi says to her that she should go back along with the other daughter-in-law, Orpah. But here's how Ruth responds. Here's how Ruth responds. Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me ever so severely, if anything but death will separate between you and me. If anything but death will separate you and me. Now that's loyalty, isn't it? That's loyalty. That's constancy. Where you die, I will die. Lifelong loyalty. Or think of another example of great friendship in the Bible. Jonathan toward David. And again, this is the midst of adversity, isn't it? For Jonathan's own father, King Saul, what does he want to do? He wants to kill David. But such is the friendship that Jonathan and the love that Jonathan has for David. He's willing to risk his own position in the royal court as the king's son in order to warn David whenever danger approaches. Give him the signal. Raise the alarm. Jonathan is a great example of faithful friendship towards someone who's going through a time of trial and adversity as David was. Another example, you mightn't think of this one. It took me a while to think of it, but I thought of it eventually when I was pondering this subject. Job. Now, Job's friends let him down badly. You'll remember in the book of Job, they're scolding him, they're rebuking him, they're accusing him of things that he hasn't done. They're saying that God is judging him for some terrible sin when he's not, and they're very hard on Job, and they really hurt Job. But remarkably, at the end of the book of Job, in Job 42, we have Job showing his loyalty to them as his friends because he intercedes on their behalf. He prays that they might be forgiven. What loyalty there is there on Job's part to friends who have failed him very badly. And maybe just one more. Isn't there evidence in the New Testament of a close bond of fellowship and friendship between Paul, the older man, and Timothy, his young assistant? Very poignant, I think, the words of 2 Timothy 4, verses 9 and 10. Paul, facing the imminent prospect of death and being very much on his own, writes to Timothy, "Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica." Demas had deserted him. Many others were not there for him. But he can write to Timothy with degree of confidence and expectation. Do your best to come to me quickly.
Because Timothy has been a faithful colleague and friend of Paul's,
working alongside him in the great work of the gospel. The constancy, the loyalty of a faithful friend is to be greatly treasured and valued. Someone who will be with you through thick and thin. The saying, there's a saying, isn't there? A friend in need is a friend indeed. But all too often it can be the case that a friend in need is a friend to be avoided. Stay out of the way, it's too messy. But a constant, loyal friend will be a friend indeed to his friend in need. So we have seen the rarity of a faithful friend, the constancy of a faithful friend, and thirdly, the honesty of a faithful friend. At the heart of friendship is honesty. Lies and deceit undermine trust and friendship. There's a striking proverb in Proverbs 27 and verse 6. Striking is almost a pun here. For faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse or many are the kisses of an enemy. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. But sometimes the greatest thing a friend can do for you, a friend who truly cares for your well-being, is to confront you with the truth that you need to hear, that no one else will bother to tell you. Maybe you're wandering down a dangerous path. Your friend can see that you're heading off in a wrong direction. And that friend, as it were, wounds you with a word of counsel and a word even of rebuke. The word wounds, there's a strong word. It does hurt. It's painful. It's not pleasant. But it's necessary in order to save the friend from harm. This is the very opposite of the flatterer, who is the false friend. Proverbs tells us in 29 verse 5, whoever flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his feet. Faithful friends will be prepared to speak a word of warning if they detect that their friends are in a dangerous and destructive path, even if it'll hurt. David recognized the value of this. David, who was aware of his own weakness and tendency to sin, wrote this in Psalm 141, verse 5, probably David. Let a righteous man strike me at his kindness. Let him rebuke me at his oil in my head. My head will not refuse it. Note there, striking. Doesn't necessarily mean literally striking, but striking and rebuking. How are they described as kindness and oil on my head? Something that's refreshing. Something that's good for you. Oil on your head. Or kindness. The honesty, the candor of a faithful friend who may save you from great error and great danger, even though you may not at first want to hear it. In closing, therefore, we see three aspects in relation to a faithful friend. They're not that common, though they should be common among the people of God. But a faithful friend in this fallen world can be a rarity and therefore to be treasured. The constancy of a faithful friend. Loyalty is at the heart of faithful friendship. And the honesty of a faithful friend. They'll speak the truth that you need to hear, even if you don't want to hear it. And Christians, we should be capable of faithful friendship toward one another. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. May the Lord enable each one of us to be more faithful in our friendships toward one another, honest and true and reliable. And reflecting especially on the rarity of friendship in this fallen world, may you go away this evening thankful that the Lord has blessed you with people that you can call true friends, especially Christian friends, friends in the Lord. The Word of God tells us this evening, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Amen.